Wireless on Flirt FM 101.3.
Hello and welcome to Wireless, a series all about radio broadcast on Flirt FM 101.3 in Galway and on flirtfm.ie. And a special welcome to all listeners on other community radio stations across Ireland. I'm John Walsh and I'll be with you for the next hour. Wireless covers all aspects of radio, analogue and digital, community, regional and national broadcasters, niche broadcasting, pirate radio, podcasting, radio ownership and radio's history and future prospects. Coming up on the December edition of Wireless, we look back at the recent failure of community radio streamed online from Kilkenny. A senior researcher on community radio reflects on 40 years of its development, and we learn about a new policy for community radio in Ireland.
Wireless on Flirt FM 101.3. Follow us on Twitter at Wireless Flirt.
Remote but not distant was the theme of this year's Féile or Festival of Community Radio, hosted by Community Radio Ireland or CRAIL. This year's Féile was held online on November the 13th due to COVID-19, and today we look back at the highlights of that event. But first of all, I'd like to say thanks very much to the judges who awarded this series, Wireless on Flirt FM, a gold award in the social benefit category of the Community Radio Achievement Awards, which are part of the Féile. I was also delighted to see recognition for so much interesting and inspiring work by other community broadcasters, so well done to everyone who won an award. This year's Féile was introduced by the manager of Community Radio Kilkenny City, Declan Gibbons, who gave an overview of what to expect and also introduced a message of welcome from the new Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media, Catherine Martin.
My name is Declan Gibbons. I'm the chairperson of Community Radio Ireland, CRAIL, and it's my great privilege to welcome you to this year's event, the annual gathering and training and development event for community radio people all over Ireland. In common with every other event this year, Féile 2020 is truly a Féile like no other. We're not all gathered in Kilkenny for the familiar annual event, but we are all gathered online, and that's the next best thing. There was a strong temptation for us to admit defeat and to call off Féile for this year. I think most people would have understood that and they would have accepted it. However, my colleagues on the CRAIL Coordinating Committee did not feel that that was an option. And they were right. A key trait displayed by all community radio stations this year is resilience, the ability and determination to keep going. Much of today's conference reflects that. COVID-19 presented our sector, like others, with unprecedented challenges. Given the volunteer-led nature of our sector, it might have been easier for stations to cease functioning, but that did not happen. Instead, stations, including volunteers, staff, and boards, adapted to the new circumstances. We innovated, we challenged ourselves and one another to find new ways of doing things. The fact that we're here today, I think, is testament to that resilience of the people across our sector. Community radio takes its role as an essential service very seriously. We matter to the people and organisations in our communities, and perhaps more than ever, they turn to us for support, information, reassurance, and just as often as any of these, for a bit of distraction from the grim reality of the pandemic. We will have a video during tonight's awards that sums up this neatly. I hope that you can stick around to see that later on. It's well known that people listen to radio more in this country than in any other country in the world. Well, since March of this year, that listenership rocketed even higher. People are tuning into their community, their public service and their independent broadcasters in greater numbers than before, partly because so many people are now at home, but also because they want that reassurance, that certainty and the familiarity that radio provides. Our stations are not part of the JNLR listenership research. However, solid information from community radio stations around the country reports more calls, more texts, more emails, and especially earlier this year, a steady stream of mail, cards and letters from people who appreciated the fact that we were here to help them through this. This has proved a great motivator for our people. Stations have faced huge challenges. Many had to close their studios and work remotely, especially those located in public buildings. Some have only recently returned to studio. Some have not been able to do so yet. But they continue to produce relevant, meaningful radio for their communities. The theme of this year's Féile is remote but not distant. We feel it's very apt for the year that's in it. I think one of the greatest strengths of our sector is our closeness, our connectedness with our communities. This year's Féile has some really interesting discussions, and I hope that you will take the opportunity to participate in areas that interest you. From 12:45 to 2:15, we have a range of workshops about specialised subjects, I suppose, across our sector. Workshop one is engaging your community during COVID-19, so that's surely apt and is likely to be for some time to come. Workshop two is student radio and young people in broadcasting, and they are certainly people who need support during this difficult time and into the future if our sector is to remain vibrant. And I think we need to motivate our base and make sure that young people find our sector has something to offer them, because they certainly have something to offer us. Workshop three is broadcasting remotely, equipment, software, etc. And that one has proved remarkably interesting because many people have logged on for that one, I can tell you. And the fourth workshop is risk assessment for stations. I think in common with everybody else, none of us, we all do risk assessments for our stations every year, and nobody, I think, would have written in December of 2019, risk of global pandemic, because it just wasn't in anybody's minds. That includes, I think it's fair to say, our regulators, our funders, and everybody else. So it might be dull and boring, but it's what keeps us going, and that workshop will take place it's, of course, in common with the other times of the workshops as well. That is workshop four. So we hope people will take part in those. If you've registered for one of those workshops, well, then you'll have received a specific link for that, and that will bring you there at that time. Then later on, returning to our theme for this weekend, the plenary theme, I beg your pardon, at 2:20, Sean O'Shukru, who's the man who's drafting our community radio policy, Sean will be along, and he is going to facilitate a workshop about the community radio policy. And I want to talk about that because one of the things going on at regulatory level at the moment is a review of the community radio policy and the drafting of a new community media policy. Some BAI personnel that we've talked to during the year claim to have been in short pants when the current policy was introduced. So it's probably past time for that review to take place. We're honoured that once again, the CEO of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, Michael O'Keefe, joins us for Féile today. And I'm sure that Michael will have a few words to say about the draft policy and others. And I should acknowledge, of course, Michael always supports our Féile, always supports our major events, and was along to launch the social benefit documents in June of this year on National Community Radio Day. The man charged with drafting the new policy, Sean O'Shukru, will facilitate a workshop from 2:20 today, and he will want to gather your feedback because it is a unique opportunity to shape the policy for the future, and we're being asked for it. So if you've something to say on it, well then, please do make your voice heard. Later at 3:30, our plenary, facilitated by the CRAIL Vice Chair, Jeff Murphy, will have the theme, The Changing Face of Radio, Remote but Not Distant. And as I said, that I think is very apt theme for the whole year that we've had and that we continue to have. A very impressive panel of speakers on that panel there today. Dr. Rosemary Day, who of course is no stranger to community radio and a great friend to us as well, and a member of the outgoing Broadcasting Authority. And Rosemary is Head of Department of Media and Communication Studies at Mary Immaculate College in Limerick. Staying in Limerick, Ray Burke, the manager of Wired FM, will be a part of that panel, as will Michael Nicolai, the president of AMARC Europe, our governing body for community radio across Europe. And Karen Dagnan, director of Sustainability Works, will be on the topic, the resilience of the community radio sector, challenging environmental, political and technological changes. And privilege of meeting Karen and one of her colleagues from Sustainability Works earlier this year, and despite perhaps scepticism at first, having had a discussion, I think there's lots in common and lots that the community sector can do to promote sustainability. So that is going to be hopefully a very, very stimulating discussion later on. And then, of course, this evening, my favourite bit of the FELA weekend, and today it's a FELA one-day event, and that is the Achievement Awards, the opportunity to honour people for some of the wonderful stuff that's been done during the year. And I suppose we should mention that because that's what we're all about. We're all about broadcasting. We're all about programmes. We're all about including our people. And that is, I think, why everybody enjoys the Achievement Award so much. That will be between 7:30 and 9:30 this evening. And we look forward to lots there. But before we go any further, I would like to thank first and welcome, well, it's a pre-recorded message from the new Minister for Media. She's got a very long title, but Catherine Martin is the new Minister for Media, and she was good enough to record a message for our Craol FELA for today, and we will play that for you now.
Dear Yves Galair, good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to speak to you all today and to launch the online 2020 Craol Community Radio FELA. This is an occasion for us all to recognise the important work community radio stations have done and continue to do in delivering services throughout these difficult times. Stations all over the country have proven to be innovative and responsive to the COVID-19 pandemic, be it adapting to new technologies, operating remotely, or implementing new safety measures. Stations do not just support volunteers, but also support community groups, local businesses, and individuals by changing your schedules to ensure the needs of the community are being met and communicating key public health messages across your airwaves to help keep everyone safe. I know that the challenges presented by COVID-19 have not been easy. In particular, being separated from our families, friends, and loved ones. But community stations are playing a critical role in keeping us connected while we are apart. I want to say thank you to the community radio sector for continuing to provide this essential service. Community radio is the third pillar of broadcasting in Ireland and has a distinct role to deliver social benefits and services. Earlier this year, the Community Radio Delivering Social Benefits Report was published by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland in conjunction with Craol. The report demonstrates the value of community radio in uplifting and empowering often unheard and marginalised voices and in celebrating diversity throughout our communities. It also plays a critical role in contributing to the diversity of our media landscape. The not-for-profit business model, the ethos to educate and entertain, and the high level of volunteerism sets you apart from other media sectors. I commend your commitment to volunteerism, something which has been highlighted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Finally, community radio contributes to building strong and resilient communities. Through broadcasting and media literacy training, it contributes to keeping citizens engaged, informed, and connected. 2020 has highlighted the importance of our sense of community and our reliance on trustworthy media like never before. I want to wish you all a fantastic FELA 2020 and the very best of luck to everyone in the Achievement Awards later tonight. I look forward to working with the community radio sector into the future. Gurv Mila Mahagov. Thank you.
Minister for the Media Catherine Martin speaking there at the opening of the Community Radio FELA on November the 13th and before her festival host and manager of Community Radio Kilkenny City, Declan Gibbons.
Wireless on Flirt FM 101.3. Follow us on Twitter at Wireless Flirt.
One of the issues mentioned for discussion at FELA was the development of a new policy for community media to guide the sector in the coming years. An open session on the new policy was held by Sean O'Shochru of the consultancy firm Nexus, who began by outlining what is meant by community media.
I begin straight away. How are community media unique? You wouldn't be amazed. I think we all know that local radio, an awful lot of time, tends to, if you like, take the clothes of community media. I saw it most recently in a new website that was promoting commercial local radio. It's not that I want to be critical of local radio, commercial radio, but it is important that the distinguishing features are made very clear. Commercial media, whether it's local or otherwise, exists to generate profits for shareholders. And it's not really, it's not the only thing they do, but it's the bottom line. And they have no choice because it's the shareholders who own them. And that's their actually their legal obligation. Public service media, on the other hand, reflect diversity of the whole island, which is actually a big task. I would be highly critical sometimes of RTE in not reflecting the views not reflecting my views enough, perhaps. But of a lot of people who have views like me, but there you go. And they're also there to entertain, inform, and to educate. Community media, yes, first they do create content to meet the specific needs of unique groups. And it's important to stress unique in the sense that they can actually have very, very different views. They can have views and be composed of a very minority group of people. So it's that's one thing that differentiates from the public service side, if you like, who have to cater for everybody. Secondly, and very important, they facilitate understanding and the use of media tools and literacy. And I was very glad to hear the minister mention that because it's something that I'll come to again. But obviously, media and digital literacy are rising in importance at the moment, have been for a number of years, especially when you give them a kind of broad definition. So it was good to see that the minister understood the value of community media in promoting that in particular. And thirdly, and this was also mentioned, reinforcing other community development bodies, or more generally, reinforcing the entire dynamic of community development and all the organizations, public as well as community organizations who are actually working in the community to generate social benefit. So you really have three differentiating factors there that do make them quite radically different. Community media uniquely work in both media and in community development. And they also build a bridge between the two where media actually becomes a part of that community development and generates social benefit as a result. Now, the next slide just moves on. In trying to be logical here, and I want to build up a logical argument because it's necessary for policy to kind of go logically from one thing to the next. And so that is what is the objective of community media. It's important to be able to have an objective. And it was quite interesting when I looked into it, neither CREOL nor Community Television Association or others were clear on the objective per se. There was a lot about the characteristics, about what the media do, but what is the objective? So I threw something together, which is based on all the documents of CREOL, of community media, of television and so on, and internationally. So it's to empower and enrich all communities and people, especially those disadvantaged or excluded, through providing beneficial information and content, enabling them to design and manage their own media and to produce and disseminate content that embodies democratic and inclusive values and expresses creativity. And by the way, I'll be coming back that embodies democratic and inclusive values is really, really important. Community media globally were founded over the decades on the need to give voice to people, to give democratic voice to people, and especially to give voice to the voiceless. They weren't just any old communities, if you like, who were setting these up. It was specifically for voiceless and for those who really wanted to promote media as a tool for democratic change and for democracy within society and inclusiveness. And third, then, as I mentioned, reinforcing the wider community development actions. This is an objective that I'm putting down in draft form, and hopefully people will comment on it. I'll move back there from what goals emerge from this objective. And here you will see the social benefit work reflected. And that work, I think, really reflected the ideas of the huge amount of consultation we did in that. I divided the six areas of social benefit actually into media content and into media practice, which I kind of thought was useful because it reflects the idea of, on the one hand, media, and on the other hand, media practicing for community development. So we have community media produced or curated by the community. It doesn't have to be produced per se, it can be put together. It means that community members have information from and relevant to their communities that they use to improve their lives. That's social benefit three, that's a reference to the benefit framework. They have access to diverse viewpoints and better information to respond more effectively as active citizens to issues from local to global level. And they have access to content that reinforces and celebrates their sense of identity, reflecting a sense of commonality and shared values within a wider spirit of humanistic and democratic principles. Again, it's important, I think, to stress that always with regard to community media. It's what animates all, or should at least animate all of community media, those humanistic and democratic principles. And then the goals as expressed in terms of media practices. Community media practices enabled by the media organization means that community members can grow in confidence and creativity and reinforce a sense of belonging, gain media and digital literacy skills that enhance job prospects and create media and critical media analysis. You'll find I beefed that up a little bit from the social benefit to include the critical media analysis, which I think is becoming more and more important in an era of fake news and so on, and reinforces the ability of community organizations to achieve development goals. So those then are the goals of community media. So what should an organization look like if it is at a minimum to strive to achieve those goals? And you'll find it looks like the community radio organizations that you're all involved in. And there's no surprise here either. A community media organization must be democratic, participative, and inclusive in ownership and management. The production tools and facilities accessible to the community. I use the word accessible there. In fact, these days, it literally could be a smartphone, which is a production facility, and accessible means making that it has to do with really the skills to make that accessible to people. It doesn't always have to be big studio facilities and stuff like that. That content produced or curated, and again, I'm using that term, it's got popular lately, curating, so I'm using it here, hopefully properly, and or disseminated must generate social benefit for the community. I'd say, and or disseminated. In fact, the community television these days is primarily involved in disseminating. When I was involved in DCTV, there was more production, but they are looking more at the dissemination or curation and dissemination of content, if you put it like that. Okay, I'm moving on to the second session now, with a section which is actually looking to the type of policy that I'm going to be proposing. Let me say before I even begin that I'm drafting a paper here, and from that paper, I have been asked to draft a policy. The policy is a much slimmer, more generic type of document. I'll come back to this question later, but I want to stress that what I'm presenting here is not a draft policy per se, but it's kind of a paper that underpins a policy, which would be far more generic, because policy, you don't want it to be too constrained. You want it to be open. This is how I would see a policy moving forward at the moment, subject to getting comments back from yourselves. This is one key point, and I know people will want to discuss it. A single policy framework for all community media. Well, why is that? The first and most obvious reason, and I think we would all agree with this, that all community media share a common objective. And that is, well, to use the jargon we're using now, to generate social benefit, but actually to empower communities. And when I say all community media, I go beyond the licensed media. You know, there have been lots of kind of initiatives over the years and in many countries and in Ireland, which have in fact included community publications, have included online activities, have included a wide range. But what they do share is that they have a common objective. They would like to, they are using media for a particular goal. And that in itself, I think, is quite a strong argument for having a single policy framework rather than several policy frameworks for community media. The second reason is more practical. A media and media platforms and regulation are all converging. This is happening everywhere. And frankly, organizations like the BAI, which itself will soon be kind of converged as well in the new media environment, are looking to kind of, I don't like the word streamline, but consolidate areas into meaningful frameworks. And certainly community media, if it can be consolidated into a kind of a single framework, is far more likely to gain traction within a policy and within regulation than if it is divided, or if it is remains, I don't say divided, but remains in, on different platforms and sees itself as very much platform specific. So that's the first part of it. But, and this is the important but, differentiated regulation to reflect the real diversity in the sector. Real diversity in terms of the options for sustainability of different types, even within radio, let alone radio and television, which is based on different needs, based on different potential sources of income, all kinds of things. So at the regulatory level, you certainly need full reflection of differentiation there to ensure that you are providing the appropriate sustainability options. In terms of content and formats and types, of course, there is a lot of differentiation there, and that should be reflected in regulation and will be anyhow. Different content, audio and audiovisual, actually have different regulations associated with them. And also the degree of reporting responsibilities that are associated with different types of platforms. So for all of those reasons, you certainly have to have a differentiated regulatory and support level within there. It's only at the highest level that you would have a single policy framework. Okay. Very broadly, challenges and opportunities in the sector. Challenges for community media. Platform neutrality, which is a global fact. It threatens, if you like, the distinctions between not just community media, but between web-based activity, between commercial and community. In fact, it just, if you like, all distinctions do begin to melt away. Let me stand up for FM radio, of course. How many times have we heard that FM is dead, and it's far from dead, and nor is it going to be. So actually in the report, I specifically mentioned that FM is the one that escapes this platform neutrality and is doing very well, thank you. Second, the audiovisual, the stuff that's going on in Europe is extremely important at the moment for on-demand services. And that is going to introduce, that comes up both as a challenge, because there are implications for the sector, but it's also going to come up as an opportunity in a moment, I think. And then there is in Ireland, assuming that there's a new media commission, the BAI would be merged into it under one commissioner, which I assume means that the board will disappear, there'll be less public input from that point of view, or less diverse input into it. Something that deserves separate discussion as well, and we'll have it. But so that new media commission is going to have three commissioners for different requirements, the on-demand side, the safety side, and the broadcast side, if that's the way that it goes ahead. And then you have, of course, those the idea that user-generated content, UGC, as it's known sometimes, actually threatens community media in the sense that now anybody can just go and create their own stuff. I think the idea of the definitions and of the goals and so on, that's, you know, that part of why that is so important is to be able to differentiate really what it is trying to do compared to most, the vast majority of user-generated content. And then you have on-demand and streaming services, which are also being produced by community media. But it is seen as a challenge, though, as well, in terms of being able to sustain them, reaching audiences, all that kind of thing. Now, the opportunities for community media, and there are opportunities really that arise from the fact, and again, I emphasize it, that a real strength of community media is its ethical and cultural basis. It's basis in democracy, its basis in people's genuine participation. And I emphasize that again, because there's so many media out there, you could say, and they are claiming to be this and claiming to be that. It's really important that, you know, that core of community media is stressed, because it's what it gives its its real legitimacy today when you compare it to other media. First of all, an opportunity that community activists and organizations can use all these tools, all these new media tools, can use the whole idea of platform neutrality and of new platforms and so on to promote activities. And there's a big role for community media in there. Secondly, that more media and digital literacy is needed. This is definitely the case. It's no longer the case that, in fact, even the terms media and digital literacy aren't really enough. To be able to negotiate things like social media, but now to be able to negotiate content when you have this whole idea of false news, et cetera, I think it's really important. It's now recognized by the government and by many others that people need, and young people need, quite a deep understanding of how media is created and hence how you can create it and how to interpret it. And that's a big opportunity for community media. And then the idea of content localness, despite the fact that we have, you know, thousands of channels and all the rest, the localness of content, and local is community of interest as well as a geographic community, that is getting more and more important. It is adding value, is being added to it all the time. And now I move on, I hope, to the bit that will interest you, and I really want to get some feedback on, because if community media are to achieve, are to succeed in really grasping these opportunities and turning it to their benefit and to enable the sector really grow in the future. What I'm arguing is that we have to stretch the continuum of community media. So alongside community radio or community television or stuff that already exists, we kind of develop a couple of ideas to stretch a continuum of different media and to support that continuum. And the first of those is one that it's not original, but isn't yet in kind of mentioned in policy and so on. And it's the idea of the community media hub. What I'm outlining here is the kind of full-fledged bells and whistles hub. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be just a few components. But the idea is that community media deserves and has a lot of potential to go beyond an individual medium, whether it's radio, whether it's television or something else, and really to explore the different types. And so the full version would be a physical center for community to engage with, very much like some of the radio stations that I visited last year as part of the social benefit stuff, where they are community hubs and are sometimes not nearly enough valued for being that, where for a community to engage with, learn about and create media and content, a training and capacity providers physically and virtually, but across all media tools. And as I say, that could be from smartphones through to television, through to whatever form that people would choose it to take and that people are willing to organize and spend their time on doing. And the training capacity, of course, is huge when it comes to the digital literacy aspect of it as well. And I could see people going out into schools to train. There's a really to provide capacity building to young people. Libraries as well could play an absolute, and are already, they have creative spaces, are already linking in with libraries. There's a huge amount that could be done there. Then you have a production center for audiovisual content, the huge variety there, whatever people need, whatever they're interested in, whatever they're willing to spend their time at, and a broadcast dissemination center for all media and enabling the other end of the spectrum, which is the micro community FM radio. And that's the next slide. So at the other end of that spectrum of media, we're talking about micro community FM radio. And the idea here actually is that the media hub would issue these licenses. I mean, they would be subject to the new commissioner or whoever it is, that would be there. But actually they could be issued with a kind of no fuss, on-demand short-term licenses to broadcast. Here I'm appealing to the BAI's claim to innovate and to support innovation. I mean, there's no better way of innovating than to be able to start up your own little community radio station. And if it bombs, it bombs. you know, and this is not an entirely new idea. It's been raised many times. In fact, I remember I've worked with UNESCO on these radio in a suitcase type of thing, which is also something that could be done here, that you could provide this equipment to community groups themselves to go out and just broadcast. There's plenty of spectrum out there at the moment. There's no shortage of it.
Sean O'Shaughrew of consultancy Nexus outlining a draft of his new community media policy for the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. And if you want to contribute to that discussion, you can email him at sean@nexus.ie.
Wireless on Flirt FM 101.3. Follow us on Twitter @WirelessFlirt.
Another person to address the Féile was an old friend of community radio, Dr. Rosemary Day, head of the Department of Media and Communication Studies at Mary Immaculate College, the University of Limerick. An outgoing board member of the BAI, Rosemary has written and published extensively about community radio in Ireland, and at Féile, she looked back over the last 40 years of its development.
We need to talk about how we're aware of what we're doing. And I think that when I was asked to do this talk or whatever, Mary Lennon asked me, because she knew I had just written a chapter which was looking back at the past of community radio and at how the community radio movement grew in Ireland and how we shared, how we came to together generate and share a vision. And so I was just going to give that. And then as I was preparing for this, I said, no, sure, that'll be written down in print. What we need to do is think about what lessons can we learn from that 40 years of working collectively and shaping a vision and trying to have an influence on policy? How can we use that going forward? So Sean's phrase there of having a continuum, and I think Pat Stanton said it's like stretching it, whatever phrase we use for it, we need to continue the work that we're doing. Communication is the way that we work to help communities make the world a better place for individuals and for themselves to improve life. So what we need to do is to maybe give ourselves a pat on the back, because where we are now in 2020 with CRAIL and with, you know, the strength of stations is really strong, despite, and I heard what Eilish was saying about having worries over money and over insurance. But really, even though those are very true, It's important to realise that community radio as a movement has strengthened and has grown. But how did that happen? And I would suggest that there are four, and this is really now, I wanted to remember these, so I used words for them that all began with A. So the first thing we need to do is to be aware of what we stand for, and aware of how we came together to do these things. And then we need to be able to articulate them. So we need to do just what Sean is doing for us now. We need to be able to write down very clearly what it is we stand for, what it is we're about. And in order to be able to do that, then that's what leads us to being active, to be able to act and to actually get results. But the thing that we need to do that we've been maybe remiss in doing over the last 40 years is to advertise ourselves. And so if we're advertising ourselves, not just to funders and to politicians, where we've become reasonably good at doing that, and we have a good relationship with the regulator, but how do we go to advertise what we do in the general population? And I'm not going to start on a negative note, so I'm going to come back to that at the end, but the advertising raises awareness as well. Not just awareness of those important people who give us funding, of those important people who license us, of those important people who say we can make changes in legislation that say that recognize what we're about, but very much the most important people with whom we engage, which is the people in our communities, right to the level of the volunteers in our stations, because this isn't news, we've often said it. How often do we have people in our stations who think that what they're there to do is to be a DJ or to, you know, use it, and it's okay as a stepping stone to a career in another station? We know we're far more valuable than that, and we need to raise the awareness constantly with each new person coming in. So when Mary gave me the opportunity to share what I had learned over the summer in looking back at how we shaped our vision, I said to myself, you know, there are many people here today who couldn't have been around for the last 40 years. And so to give you a really quick dateline, not of all the wonderful things that were done in stations, I think the social benefit toolkit that Sean introduced to us last year, wasn't introduced because he worked with it for all of us to get it, is fantastic for that. But just to look at some of maybe the high level milestones for us as a movement. So looking back over time, back in the very wild days of piracy, and I see Brian Green is sitting up there up front, but there's quite a few radio pirates sitting here today. There were a number of people who were using radio, not just to spin discs, but also to, they saw it much as a way of connecting people, of getting people to communicate with each other. And they were doing so in separate stations. There was Yall, there was Connemara, there was the forerunner of Near, there was Concord, and they didn't know each other. So gradually over time, some really strong activists, and I won't name names, but some of them are still around, they began to get together, and they decided that, you know, there's always strength, like the trade union movement, there's always strength when you come together. And so they formed an association they called the National Association for Community Broadcasting, the NACB. And that lobbied, and, you know, it had an input into the shaping of legislation. Over the 80s, there were so many changes in governments, and there were so many times the bill, an act for broadcasting was promised and it didn't happen. I'm not going to go into that, but what's really interesting is that the NACB wrote a charter, and Jack Byrne was instrumental in writing that charter. And the NACB was founded in 1983, the same year that AMARC was founded. And what's interesting, and this is something that I really want to come back to about being active and in raising our awareness, here we go, is that AMARC and the NACB began to talk to each other. And much of what the Irish had put into the charter for what community radio should do transferred over to the AMARC Europe Charter. And since then, for the last 23 years or more, the AMARC Europe Charter, which people think came in from outside, but actually came from Ireland and came back a bit like Irish music, it's been influencing how we work and how we do things. But what's crucial is that while the NACB splintered and different people went to commercial and other people stayed with community, what remained was what they wrote down. So to be able to articulate your vision is hugely important. And the articulation of that vision led very much to the strength in lobbying for licenses. In 1993, we get Radio Na Cliath, and we get the forerunner of Dublin City FM, we get An Olivia coming on air. And the following year, the regulatory authority, the IRTC, had, you know, the famous pilot scheme for 11 stations. Even with all of the work and all of the articulation and the raising of awareness, the regulatory authority wasn't convinced that community radio was a good thing. And I don't want to be, you know, looking for shadows and fears around every corner, but I do have a certain sense of unease that we could, and I'll come back to this maybe at the end or maybe in the open discussion, we need to be careful that we continue to articulate what it is that we stand for as community media people, so that others, well, others can make what they want, but that those who are focused on content only don't end up, if there are spoils to be taken, if there is core funding to come or whatever, that they don't end up taking it. I think it's useful to look at the foundation of TG Carr, which is a different animal, but so many independent production houses were set up. And in the early years, it was said that they could use crew who couldn't speak Irish, because obviously we needed to upskill, etc. But now, how many years later? 25, going on for 30 years later, there are still many, many production houses who get that funding, who've upskilled their people, but they haven't introduced Irish speakers into the mix or learned to speak Irish. So I'm not switching from one of my hobby horses to another, or one of my passions, I should say, but there is a lesson to be learned there. When money comes into the equation and we need it, we need to be careful that we ring fence it for the people who are going to benefit from it. Okay, so I've gone off on a tangent there. So back to the 1990s, one of the biggest and most important things that happened, that came out of that pilot scheme, is not just the continued existence of those nine stations and the addition of another 11 or 12 since, but it's the working together, the formation of the Community Radio Forum, which became CRAIL today. And thanks are due to Kieran Cassan, particularly there, because as a very young man, he was tasked with monitoring the work of the stations, but he took that remit and moved it so much further. So people who were initially quite suspicious of each other and who were overworked and overexhausted were enticed, forced, cajoled to come and meet each other twice a year. And from that, a working group was put together, which came up with the definition that we've used for the last 23 years. So that's why Sean's work at the moment is so important. If for the last 23 years, when we individual stations have changed so much, if that has been the abiding definition by which we are, if you like, governed, certainly monitored, definitely licensed, and supported through, then it's essential for us that we feed in, give Sean all of the feedback that he needs now to give us a policy document, which the BEI will decide anyway. We're only being consulted. It's not our document this time. It wasn't the last time either, but it became so. That we need to really be active. I'll leave my cards down. We really need to be active in doing that so that while we will change hugely over the next 23 years, this policy will probably last for 10 years at least, if not for longer, whether the BAI is still here or not, whatever iteration, whatever commission we have, this is a crucial moment for us going forward. So we need to put the time into it now. So that was probably the two biggest things that came out of the 1990s was the formation of CRAIL, which supports and sustains every individual station and makes us stronger together. And CRAIL's second job, if you like, or function, is to lobby and to represent us, to be active on our behalf and to articulate our needs, but also our vision. And CRAIL has been incredible in doing that over the last 20 years on absolutely tiny funds. In 2009, as a result of some of the activists in, I don't know if it was called CRAIL then, but succeeded in getting the Minister for Communications at the time, Eamon Ryan, to insert that crucial two words, that phrase, social benefit, into legislation. And that changed everything because it was a recognition for the first time of how we were a different animal, how we differ from RTE and from Live 95 in Limerick or from Clare FM or from FM 104 or whoever. It put it down clearly on paper. And it was also the first time that we got a real definition in legislation. And up to that point, there was no distinction made in legislation between us and your local commercial radio station. I keep talking about radio, but I'm talking about the past and we need to move it forward to all the different ways we can do media. And then last year in 2019, Sean came to the FELA with the toolkit, which he didn't make up out of his own head. He brought together what everybody was saying, what they were doing. And it's a fantastic document to have to show to funders and to prove to, if journalists ever bother to ask, what we're doing. But what we need to do now with what's going forward to the BAI is to really input there and make sure that, as Sean says, the policy document will only be about 3 pages, I think Sean said, to make sure that that is flexible enough and resilient, drawing from the theme of today's conference, resilient enough and flexible enough for us to be able to change and move, because we're very close to the ground and we'll react to what we need to do. And I was at the technological workshop and it's amazing what people are doing and how innovative they are. So we're all of those things, but a definition that's articulated, it stays. So we need to be careful that we get that right. Out of the social benefit toolkit, one really good thing came, which was that the BAI recognised that CRAIL were really, this is what we're about, and that we wanted funding for it. Unfortunately, though, it coincided with COVID and with, and here I think it's important that we look at our role in this. The government announced that there would be a huge amount of funding, I think 750,000 for community radio. For emergency funding. So I know from talking to people in CRAIL and in stations that many stations were ready to go to the wall. They were absolutely put to the pin of their collar. And the scheme, quite sensibly, was divided into two parts, the larger part going for emergency funding for commercial stations and the smaller part going to community radio stations. But where the problem I see is, and this is why we need to be very careful in our articulation of what we're about, and in our activity as activists, as people who are putting, we need to be more assertive. Because instead of being like the county councils that gave small to medium-sized enterprises cash within weeks, and instead of being like the commercial stations who got cash within weeks, Michael O'Keefe announced this morning that the BEI will meet on the 30th of November, and then the funds will flow after that. And why is that? I think it's a misguided good intention. And I think the CRAIL needs to be more assertive in stepping in sooner when this kind of thing happens, and to not be afraid of being assertive. We serve the people. We have a right to broadcast, and we have a right, therefore, to that money. And that money, I think, which was emergency cash, shouldn't have been tied to any conditions like social benefit. It's almost, and I don't think this was the intention, but it's almost as though there's a lack of trust in what stations are going to do with it. Nobody was going to run off to the Bahamas because they couldn't get a flight. I wouldn't be able to put up with the quarantine or whatever. Nobody was going to run away with the cash, but we all, stations needed it, and they still need it. And I think we need to stand together collectively when we're being assertive. We stand within and behind CRAIL in this. There was a distinction made, and I cannot understand why, between community of interest stations and community, geographic communities. So geographic community stations can apply for up to 40,000, and a community of interest like student stations or like Radio Na Liffa could only apply for up to 30,000. Yet they all do social benefit. They're all community radio stations. We have those distinctions. I won't go into the reasons why. There's lots of good reasons. But when it comes down to the need for money, when it comes down to the need for the DASH to support ourselves and not go to the wall, they're the same. So I think that's another lesson that, well, does happen to begin with. A, we need to have no flashcard. We need to be assertive. And we need to not be afraid of the regulator. I'm speaking as somebody who has just come off the board, and I don't know whether anybody will be going back on it or how it's going to work. It's all up in the air. But whatever comes after the BEI, like we've had three already. We've had the IRTC, we've had the BCI, now we've had the BEI. Something else will come there. Let's hope it's as good and as supportive and as friendly as the executive and the boards of the regulator have been up to now. But whatever comes, we have come of age. We in CRAIL now exist, and we're a strong voice for people. We have a mandate, and we're not getting things as presents. OK, it's not that aren't we so lucky to have it. These are things that we're entitled to. So I think that we need to come back to that idea of articulating our vision really strongly and being active in promoting it and pushing towards it. So the things that I've hoped that I've got you thinking about are about us, after we do all the work in our individual stations, to think about us as a collective, us as a movement. And while we have been good at being aware ourselves and what we're doing, and while we've been good at working collectively, organising, we got into legislation in 2009. We've tried since, and we'll keep trying. We've had a definition in 1997. We're going to have another one now, a new policy coming up probably next year in 2021. While we've been good at all of those things, the thing that we have been, they've all come, as I said, from being articulate about what we're about, being not just united, but being able to spell it out and put it into a document or a charter that we can all adhere to. But what we've really been poor about, okay, so this is the depressing bit, is I'm looking for my cards. Is this one about advertising? And I don't even like the word because it smacks of for money, etc. But it began with A, so I threw it in there. We need to spread the message. And we have been very poor at doing that over the last 40 years. And if we're to learn anything as we change from being just radio to being part of the hubs that Sean was talking about and stretching ourselves, as Pat said, if we're to go anywhere, we need to, okay, continue to do what we've done with legislators, with regulators, continue to work collectively and continue to look for funding, etc. But what we really need to do and concentrate some of our energy now on is telling other people what we do. So if you think about it, how many of your friends and relations, even after you spending 30 years in your station or 3 months, still think that what you're doing is going into play or that it's your hobby? Or that they're asking you, they'd say, ah, sure, Rosie, sure, she couldn't make it she never got the job in RT, but she's doing it there on her look, ah, the creator. That's not what we're doing. And it's our fault if other people don't know. We've tried different things. We tried publishing books. We've had, I think DCTV did a very good television documentary series. We're much better on social media than we realize. We need maybe one or two people who'll be committed to this and who'll be paid for it. Again, that dreaded word of money. But we definitely can't keep putting it on the long finger. So over the last 40 years, and I'll stop now, we've always had the problems that Eilish brought up in the last session of not being able to pay for the insurance or not being able to pay the electricity bill. And those, that's never going to go away. Even if we get new funding, even if we get AVMDS funding and we get a new pubble or whatever, we're never going to have enough money. And I'm not belittling the point of that. That's a fact. We are never going to have enough for the dreams and the vision that we have, because we can keep working and keep doing more. But unless we take some time and put some effort into telling other people why what we do is so important, we're not going to grow. Back in 2000, we had 20 community radio stations. We only have 21 or 22 now. There's no good reason, and I know I sat on the BAI, but I still can't come up with a good reason, really, why all those aspirant stations still have to struggle and continue with 100 days. It doesn't have to be, Sean called it a micro station, and I think we all like the idea, but we need to step back a bit and say, but surely isn't that what we do anyway? Isn't that what we are? Isn't that what we started by being? And before things got expensive or before things got so high, but we were able to do that. So, you know, we need to ask ourselves, why haven't we grown more? And I think those four A's, if I can use them again here, I put them together in one: to be more aware, to be active, to articulate that awareness and spread it and to advertise means that we will raise more awareness.
Dr. Rosemary Day of Mary Immaculate College, the University of Limerick, addressing this year's Féile of Community Radio. And you can find out more about this year's event at crail.ie. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Wireless on Flirt FM. Join us again in January for the next show. I hope you'll join us then, but in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at Wireless Flirt and on facebook.com/wirelessflirt. You can also listen to previous shows on our website, wirelessflirt.radio.ie, where you can subscribe to this program as a podcast. Until the next edition of Wireless, this is John Walsh wishing you good listening and a very happy Christmas and New Year.
Wireless on Flirt FM 101.3.